How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me,
the genes of you and me,
we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.
Hi, you're listening to DNA Today, a podcast and radio show where we discover new advances in the world of genetics. From genetic technology like CRISPR to rare diseases to new research, we have you covered. For a decade, DNA Today has brought you the voices of leaders in genetics. I'm Kira Dineen. I'm a certified genetic counselor and your host. PerkinElmer Genomics is a global leader in genetic testing, focusing on rare diseases, inherited disorders, newborn screening, and hereditary cancer. Testing services support the full continuum of care from preconception and prenatal to neonatal, pediatric, and adult. Testing options include sequencing for targeted genes, multiple genes, the whole exome or genome, and copy number variations. Using a simple saliva or blood sample, PerkinElmer Genomics answers complex genetic questions that can proactively inform patient care and end the diagnostic odyssey for families. Learn more at PerkinElmerGenomics.com. Do you know the power of polygenic risk score? Polygenic risk score, or PRS, enables healthcare providers to more effectively help patients lower their risk of life-threatening diseases with the latest breakthrough in clinical genomics. Alelica has launched the first PRS test on the market to calculate ancestry-specific PRS for breast cancer, prostate cancer, coronary artery disease, type 2 diabetes, and Alzheimer's disease, and delivers the results in a clinical-grade report. The PRS test is a laboratory-developed test that is performed in a CLIA-certified, CAP-accredited genetics lab. Here's just one example of why this test is so important. If a patient with breast cancer tests negative for BRCA1, BRCA2 genetic mutations, Alelica's PRS test may be able to identify other key genetic mutations which played a role in the cancer development. Learn more about PRS in our previous interview with Alelica CEO and co-founder Gordano Botta on episode 168 of DNA Today. You can order the PRS test at order.alelica.com. For 25% off and free shipping, use code DNA Today at checkout. Alelica, empowering the next generation of clinical genomics. Sema4 offers an extensive portfolio of health information solutions, including preclinical and clinical trial support, analytics for actionable insights, and advanced sequencing services. Sema4's family of precision oncology products and service, Sema4 Signal, provides data-driven care solutions with advanced analytics, digital tools, and exome-based somatic and hereditary cancer genomic tests. Learn more about their mission at sema4.com. Sema4, a patient-centered health intelligence company. My guest today is Dr. George Emanuel. He is a scientific co-founder and director of technology and partnerships at VisGen. And we're going to be chatting about single-cell spatial genomics in this episode. So Dr. Emanuel, can you start by just defining what single-cell spatial genomics is? Because this might be a new term for some of our audience members.
Yeah, certainly. I think that's a great place to start. So to best describe what single-cell spatial genomics is, we can think about any biological system because it's really a new way of looking into biology. So if you think of any biology, or at least multicellular biological system, it's really comprised of certain fundamental components. There's certain tissues within that biological system. And then within each tissue, it's comprised of the set of cells that work together to achieve the overall function of that tissue. So when we think about biology at the cellular level, each cell contains the same set of, or nearly the same set of DNA and chooses to express a subset of the possible genes from that DNA. So there's lots of possible choices since there's lots of genes, tens of thousands of genes within a typical genome. So to understand what each cell is doing, how it's achieving that overall cellular function, and how it's contributing to the overall function of the tissue, it's useful to understand which genes are being expressed at which portion of the tissue. So for this, because of the incredible complexity, there's hundreds of thousands or millions of cells, even within a small mouse tissue, maybe billions of cells within a typical human tissue, each cell might be expressing a different subset of those RNA transcripts. This introduces the inherent complexity of any biological system. So that complexity has really made it difficult to understand what's happening across different biological systems. Previously, maybe you could study one biomarker. There's a gene that you like, whether it's CD3, you're interested in T cells, CD68, and you can measure the expression of that biomarker across the tissue. But since there's tens of thousands of other genes that contribute to the overall function of the tissue, measuring the biomarkers one at a time doesn't give you this full picture. So single-cell spatial genomics is a new biological research field where you can really start to understand these complex systems entirely, all at once, by measuring the expression of hundreds or thousands of genes, knowing exactly which cell is expressing each of those genes, and exactly where each of those cells is within the tissue. So single-cell spatial genomics is this new way of looking into these biological systems and really mapping out what's happening, whether it's a healthy state, understanding, sort of atlasing the composition of that tissue, or whether you want to understand what's happening during a disease state or drug treatment state. You perform the same sort of measurement to understand how genes are changing and with which cell types at which regions of the tissue, to really start to gain this new window into biology and gain this new insight.
And I've talked about on the show that I feel like this is the next area of genomics where it's just going to explode, because for a long time we've been looking at DNA and saying, okay, we want to sequence DNA, we want to understand the letters, any mutations that are there, any differences. But now I feel like the next level, like epigenetics on top of the genome, is looking at, okay, well, what genes are turned on and off and how is that affecting, as you're saying, like, you know, that tissue level and what's going on. Is this only used for research at this point? Because this is very new.
Yeah, it's certainly a new and exciting technology. I think we're just in the nascent days of seeing what is the true power of this technology. What are the pivotal biological discoveries that it's going to enable? When we look at back at these other technologies, there's this progression. The technology, first, maybe it's developed in a research lab. It's maybe not broadly available at that point, but then as it progresses, as the value of that technology is demonstrated, then it turns into this commercial product. So now a whole variety of labs now have access to that technology, and they can apply it to a whole range of different research questions. So that's the transition point where we see single-cell spatial genomics. There's, from the academic groups developing new technologies, there were a number of different approaches that were developed towards enabling this type of measurement that I was just describing, but they weren't broadly available. They're very difficult for researchers to adopt on their own because there wasn't this commercial infrastructure for them to be able to run through this measurement. So they had to build up sort of everything from the sample prep procedures to the instrumentation to the downstream analysis on their own. So because of that, I think we're still in this nascent period. But with the launch of a Immerscope platform, or the first commercial solution to enable these single-cell spatial genomics measurements, I think we're at the turning point where we're going to see a lot more researchers starting to adopt these technologies, applying them to their own research. And we're going to really start to see what this new window into biology is going to enable in terms of scientific discovery. So I'd say at this point, thinking about where the technology is being applied, we do typically see that the technology start out as a research technology. As it becomes more and more established, works towards clinical acceptance, where people can either run it alongside a clinical trial to get more information about what's happening with the patient, or maybe they want to actually use this technology to help with the diagnostics, to understand what drug's going to work best for which patient. So I'm very excited to see where this technology goes. We are in this early stages of the technology, but even some of these different research applications that we see already are working towards the clinic, maybe whether it's a preclinical study where you want to determine the mechanism of action for a given drug, or maybe you want to understand why a drug might be failing in a clinical trial, then you can run a sample alongside using the platform to understand the whether it's meeting the expectations set for the preclinical studies, or whether there's something novel happening as you get to more patient-oriented samples. So the MERSCO platform that I was just mentioning is currently research use only, but I am very excited to see where this technology is going.
And part of the technology you're talking about, so you have the MERSCO platform, but within that, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have the MERFISH approach to it. How is MERFISH different from standard fish? So to define people that are like, why is she talking about fishing? FISH stands for fluorescent in situ hybridization. So I explain it to patients like we're throwing glow-in-the-dark paint on either chromosomes or genes, and so we're able to see them light up under the microscope so we can identify them. So how is MERFISH different from that standard fish approach?
So that standard fish approach that you apply in itself is a very powerful technique, because with standard fish or this in situ hybridization, you can hybridize probes very specifically against a given target transcript. So that's, once these probes are hybridized, then you can easily visualize them, whether it's through fluorescence or another means, and just look at a sample and say, where is this gene being detected? Where is it being expressed? So with that, there's already a lot of power there, especially as you get to the single molecule level where you're directly counting each individual copy of that transcript with a high resolution microscope. So although it's very powerful and very quantitative, you're typically only able to measure just one or two or three genes at a time with those sorts of traditional fish approaches, just because of the way that fluorescent dyes work. You can only fit a certain number of fluorescent dyes into a typical measurement. So as the name implies, MERFISH builds upon this standard traditional fluorescence in situ hybridization type of measurement. And it does so by greatly increasing the multiplexing capacity. So specifically, MERFISH, the MER part stands for multiplexed error robust fluorescence in situ, and then fluorescence in situ hybridization. So with that, we take a lot of the advantages of FISH that have been developed over tens of years, maybe 30 or 40, and then layer on this ability to do this very highly multiplexed measurement. But by multiplexed, I mean, rather than reading out genes one at a time, only being able to measure three or five genes in a given sample, now we're able to do that for hundreds or thousands or even tens of thousands of genes by using a barcoding scheme that really, really increases the gene throughput and gets to the point where the number of genes that you're matching or measuring across a sample starts to match up with the genomic complexity. So you start to measure enough genes that you can really start to understand the subtleties across a biological tissue or the subtleties across different types of cells and have this new way of looking at biological systems. So just maybe a briefer way of putting it is that with standard fish, you can measure one or two genes. You can see how they're distributed across the tissue. With MERFISH, you can measure a transcriptome scale number of genes. You can see how all or nearly all of the genes are expressed across that tissue. With that, you can imagine the power that you can now have this way of looking into the exact biology at the complexity or the scale of the actual biological system.
Yeah, it's wild to think that you can look at that many, because I remember being in the lab 5 years ago in a cytogenetics lab and just, you know, doing fish on like, okay, a couple, you know, different, as you said, like maybe, you know, one to four or something like that. But, you know, looking at through the VisGen website of just like playing around with it, and we'll include a link in the show notes so that you guys can play around with it too. It's just remarkable, like how much you can look at it. And I'm just like, all the different ways that we could be applying this, it just seems like limitless at that point when you're looking at such a large scale.
Yeah, I think it's certainly exciting. That is what I'm most excited to see in the coming months or even the coming years, how researchers will start to use this technology within their own research, because we're at that transition period where now there's lots of, from these publications or demonstrations of these sorts of technologies previously, there are lots of researchers who start to imagine how it could be applied to their research. But it's now is really the time where they can turn that from just imagination into some practical experiment, and they can get that actual data on their particular sample to address their particular question and apply this next generation of technologies to understand their biology.
And take me through how Merscope works. What is the workflow there? What types of samples can Merscope work with? Like, you've been talking about tissues, but, you know, can you get a little bit more specific in terms of, you know, from clinical samples, what we could be using? I know this is still in research, but, you know, looking at it from that way.
Yeah, I can describe a little bit of how the technology works, which starts to inform the workflow a bit, and how you can imagine, start to imagine how different sorts of sample types or tissue types can work into the workflow. So MERFISH is an imaging-based technology, or in particular fluorescence imaging base. So ultimately, the sample is going on to the microscope, which is within this MERScope instrument that, that Visgen has recently launched. And this microscope is going to be imaging the fluorescence from that sample. In particular, it does it in this multiplex arrow bust way, where it's reading out at each position across the sample. There's a binary barcode that's encoded onto each of the different transcripts. And then through this instrumentation, through this microscopy, we're able to read out that barcode at each of the positions across the tissue and really identify exactly which gene is at exactly which position in that tissue. So that's a brief description of the technology, but to get to that point where the sample is ready to go on to the instrument, there's a little bit of sample prep. In particular, we want to imprint each of these barcodes onto each of the target transcripts. So to do that, we first design a custom gene panel. So what's offered with the MERScope platform is an entirely custom gene panel where the researcher can pick which genes they want to measure. And then we send them this ready-to-use gene panel for them to then stain their sample. So usually they'd start from a tissue block of either fresh frozen or fixed frozen or sometimes FFP tissue. From that tissue block, then you take a slice of the tissue, you put it onto one of the MERScope slides. Then from there, you fix and permeabilize it, if it's fresh frozen, for example, so that everything's held in place, nothing's floating around, but permeabilize it so that it's accessible for these probes that encode each of the binary, each of the barcodes to come in and bind to the respective RNA target. So once it's permeabilized, you put a drop of this probe mixture onto the sample, let it hybridize, do some gel embedding and clearing, and then you go on and put the sample onto the instrument, which goes through this imaging process. So from that description, you can already start to see that it's fairly generic or general protocol that can be adapted to whichever sort of tissue. And since FISH has been demonstrated on a whole variety of different sample types already, it's pretty straightforward to get MERScope and MERFISH to work on that sample type. So that's the typical workflow for a normal sample. Along with that, one of the critical aspects of how MERScope works and how you get this single cell information is through cell segmentation. Because once you identify each of the transcripts across the tissue, then you want to know which transcripts fall within the same cell. So in addition to doing all of this complex barcoding and decoding in order to identify the transcripts, we also perform cell segmentation and are able to characterize each individual cell across that tissue.
Wow. So it really goes from you're taking a tissue at that level, but then going all the way down to each cell and looking at, okay, what are the expression levels of those genes? The resolution is very high then of being able to look at that detailed level. Why is it advantageous to be able to get to that level?
I think we can, again, motivate this maybe thinking about how biological systems work, because biology works across a whole range of length scales, down to the individual cell or even subcellular length scale, all the way up to the whole tissue. Each step along the way in terms of length scales is really critical to understanding the biological system. First, you want high enough resolution that you can see what individual cells are doing, or even intracellular resolution so you can see where these transcripts are localized within the cell. But at the same time, you want to see how is that varying across the tissue? How is that varying based on proximity to other cell types? So across this whole range of length scale, from an individual cell to the microenvironment, to the whole tissue is really critical to understanding the biology. Because if you just take a small tissue or a small area of the tissue, for example, maybe you are able to understand the expression of some genes within some cells, but you can't understand the whole picture across the whole tissue, because maybe that gene expression, or for example, in the brain, in the cortex, there's this very layered structure. In other parts of the brain, there's very diverse structures. So understanding the tissue as a whole gives you a more complete picture of how that biological system is actually working.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if you don't want to zoom in too much on one part, you want to have a lot of information like throughout the tissue. Polygenic risk scores, or PRS, are a powerful way to identify an individual's risk of common disease by analyzing up to millions of genetic variants spread across the genome. Alelica has launched the first PRS test on the market to calculate ancestry-specific PRS for breast cancer, prostate cancer, coronary artery disease, type 2 diabetes, and Alzheimer's disease, and delivers the results in a clinical-grade report. Order your test today at order.alelica.com. For 25% off and free shipping, use code DNA today at checkout. Again, that's order.alelica.com. Alelica. Empowering the next generation of clinical genomics. Semaphore is on the cutting edge of future, where knowledge for every person's health journey can be used to help ourselves and each other. Semaphore uses advanced artificial intelligence to analyze a wealth of data. This generates a better understanding of disease and wellness. And with predictive modeling, Semaphore is not just helping doctors understand their patients better, but also helping patients receive care and targeted treatment for their specific needs. Semaphore's accomplished research team includes world leaders in data science, machine learning, network modeling, and genomics. With over 180 published papers, Semaphore is committed to providing science-driven solutions to the most pressing medical needs. The Semaphore Elements portfolio of information-driven genomic solutions, digital tools, and services enables providers to treat patients holistically during their reproductive and generational health journey, from preconception planning to hereditary cancer testing. Learn more about their mission at semaphore.com. Semaphore, a patient-centered health intelligence company. Did you know PerkinElmer Genomics was one of the first laboratories to offer whole genome sequencing on a clinical basis? Whole genome sequencing can maximize clinical diagnostic yield for patients. With a turnaround time of 6 weeks, PerkinElmer's whole genome sequencing test is designed to provide access to additional valuable information compared to an exome. PerkinElmer Genomics provides one of the world's most comprehensive programs for detecting clinically significant genomic changes. PerkinElmer Genomics delivers knowledge that can empower health. PerkinElmer is a global leader committed to innovating for a healthier world. Join their mission at PerkinElmerGenomics.com. Also, listen back to episode 176 with PerkinElmer's Dr. Madhuri Hegde, where we explored the power of whole genome sequencing. Discover all that PerkinElmer Genomics has to offer at PerkinElmerGenomics.com. And as we've been alluding to, there's a lot of information that we can glean from this. And VisGen has had a list of publications, many of which you're listed as an author, Dr. Emanuel. What have you learned by utilizing MERScope and this MERFISH technology? I know I was interested in the neurospace. You kind of were hinting at that in terms of the brain there.
I think some of the early MERFISH demonstrations, particularly in the space of neuroscience, are especially exciting. Because with this ability to really look at a tissue and see exactly where each gene is being expressed, that gives you this new way of really characterizing how that biological tissue is formed. So I'll focus on a publication that was slightly adjacent to some of my contributions to MERFISH, but really one of the flagship papers, the first demonstrations of this technology to really demonstrate the ability to map out the cellular composition of this complex tissue. Because the brain itself is incredibly complex. There's not just are there different types of cells like inhibitory neurons, excitatory neurons, astrocytes, microglia, but within each of those types of cells, there's a whole variety of subtypes. For example, within excitatory and inhibitory neuron, there are tens or maybe even hundreds of subtypes of inhibitory and excitatory cells. So with so many different types of cells, just by listing them out, it's very difficult to start to understand what is the function for each of those different cell types. But with Murfish in this 2018 paper published in Science, they used Murfish to map out a region of the mouse brain called the hypothalamus that's responsible for a lot of mating, aggression, type of behaviors. And they wanted to characterize the cellular composition of this tissue to start to understand how this area of the brain is built up in order to support those different behaviors. So they performed a Murfish measurement. And with that Murfish measurement, they're able to characterize the diverse populations of cells within that tissue, including very fine definitions of the inhibitory and excitatory neurons that were even some of which were even invisible to previously used technologies for studying this region of the brain. So once they had the cellular map, they even overlaid different functional information on top of it. In particular, they wanted to see which of these specific subtypes of neurons were activated during different mouse behaviors. For example, aggression behavior. So they have the mouse exposed to aggression behavior and then perform the technology overlaid with a functional reporter too. So they could see which neurons in that region of the brain were activated during that behavior. And with that, they could then start to understand what is each of these specific cells doing within this region of the brain and build up this functional map of this mouse hypothalamus area.
Wow. So there's just so much that you've already learned from this, which is just amazing, and that you're able to look at this detailed level. And we're going to put a link in the show notes to that 2018 paper so that listeners can, you know, read the paper as well. Now, if researchers want to get involved and use the Murscope platform, how can they get access?
So as I was mentioning a little bit earlier, one of the things that I'm currently most excited about is that we've just launched this Murscope platform. We've had our full launch towards the middle of January. So now all that a researcher has to do to be able to start to run this measurement is to get in touch with VisGen, and they're able to purchase the platform, which involves this instrumentation that I was describing, along with components to facilitate the full workflow. And then from that point, they're able to start running Murfish measurements, this very highly multiplex spatial single-cell genomics technology on their samples to start to do this kind of research and achieve this sort of insight into the biology.
So if researchers are used to performing FISH, do you think it will be an easy transition to then be performing MERFISH with Murscope?
Yeah, I think there the sample prep is nearly identical between the two.
Yeah, as you in were describing, I was like, even, yes, I've done that part. Yeah,
in some cases, it's even simplified because there we provide the reagents that people need in this ready-to-use format, which I think I did some wet lab biology work for a while, and mixing up all of those different reagents, I always thought I might get it wrong at some point. So there is, I think compared to FISH, the sample prep is very similar. You still have to slice the tissue, you still have to stain the tissue, and then the only difference is now you put it onto this instrumentation that gives you the output, all of this spatial genomics data. So it's a very similar process. The instrumentation is a little bit different, but the data output is much, much richer.
Yeah, and you're able to like really visualize the data that you have as opposed to, you know, trying to organize it all like with, you know, traditional FISH and like having to, you know, have a human read through slides. It seems to be a little bit different.
Yeah, I think that's one of the exciting things is that measuring at this gene throughput, you're able to start to use the same tools that genomics researchers use rather than pathology researchers, because for a lot of pathology you have to look at the slide and see what's happening, but with genomics you can perform these sorts of analysis across the whole transcriptome and start to do this sort of analysis but now on a tissue slice.
So it's almost cytogenomics that we're turning into instead of cytogenetics. So a whole nother area of genetics. Anything else that you wanted to mention before we wrap up? I mean, you've just covered so much, and I think Murfish I don't know, could it replace fish in the future, or am I thinking too big?
I think there's always there's always specific questions where a specific technology is going to be most applicable. I think just, we did cover quite a bit on the technology and also on this platform, but if it helps, I know you already mentioned this link to the web-based visualization of the data, but I'd again encourage people who are interested in seeing what the technology is to go try that out, because there you can, within the web browser, you can zoom in at the whole tissue scale and see how different genes are being expressed, but you can also interactively zoom in to individual cells and really see what's happening and what the output of this technology looks like.
Yeah, it really is impressive to use, and that's called the MERScope Visualizer, so we'll have a link so that people can play around with that, because it's cool that you're able to see, like, oh, this is what a researcher would see once they have their data output and how they would play with it. So I think also interesting for students to see, because it's a glimpse into what they could be doing in the future with the lab. But thank you so much, Dr. Manuel, for coming on the show and just sharing so much of where we're headed in the future with this. I love when we can cover on the show where things are in terms of research, because it gives us a preview into what we'll be seeing in the clinic and being able to have results for patients directly. So I think this is something that people should certainly keep their eye on. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and just sharing, you know, all about this MERfish and the MERScope platform.
Yeah, thanks for the discussion. It's always great to talk about the platform, and I'm very excited to see how different researchers will start to use it, both towards research applications, but also these eventual clinical applications, and how it might have this downstream impact on human health.
Well, you'll have to keep us updated of all the new papers and everything else that you're discovering.
I certainly will.
For more information about today's episode, visit dnapodcast.com, where you can also stream all episodes of the show. We encourage your questions, comments, guest pitches, and ideas. Send them all into info@dnapodcast.com. Search DNA Today on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, so you can connect with us there. And a favor, please rate and review the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. This truly helps us climb the charts and allow more genetic nerds like yourself to find the show. DNA Today is hosted and produced by myself, Kira Dineen. Our social media lead is Corinne Merlino. Our video lead is Amanda Andrioli. Thanks for listening, and join us next time to discover new advances in the world of genetics.
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.